This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kunnison with Noel Lim and Kusi Chuang in the studio this morning. Now, very quickly, before we go into our call on the impact of the stimulus package, on the economic recovery package on the markets, Chuang, let's take a look at Bursa Malaysia.
Well, the benchmark pairing earlier gains of as much as 2%, now up by just 1.6%. Some movers, CarePlus having earlier risen, now down 2.5%. Comfort Glove ditto as well, down by 2.2%. Tanaka having been down as much as 5% intraday, now just down 1% to 1186. So, tale of two halves, really.
Yeah, so the 35 billion ringgit Panjana package, or the short-term economic recovery plan, was announced on Friday before the local boards closed. Yet the FBM KLCI closed in the red, down 0.35% that day. Now it's averaging 2% at this point. Now, was this once again buying on the anticipation but sell on the fact, or was the market expecting more from the package? To find out whether the market sentiment will be boosted by this new economic recovery plan and which sectors stand to gain and also lose, we speak to Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research at RHB Investment Bank. Alex, are you there on the line with us?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, good morning. So the Panjana package, 35 billion ringgit announced last Friday, is targeted at restarting the economy. What impact will that have on the country's GDP?
Okay, I think the second quarter GDP numbers will see the trough of the impact of the pandemic. But going forward into the second half, we will see a gradual recovery. So while our economists haven't revised our minus 4% GDP growth forecast for this year, I think right now, with the implications arising from the Panjana stimulus package, we think there's going to be some upside risks to this growth forecast. So I think the package that was announced last Friday was fairly broad-based, and I think has generally been reasonably well received by the market.
Well, let's take a look at some specific sectors. So what sectors do you see benefiting from this package?
I mean, clearly the package addresses the two of the most badly hit sectors, which is property as well as auto. Property, I think, it's a first relaxation of the measures, the cooling measures that were implemented way back in 2014, 2015. So I think even though this current proposals, which includes a home ownership campaign, may not garner as much sales as the one that happened early on last year, but I think anything that any kind of measures that help to alleviate and help to clear unsold inventory and to spur further developments in the sector will be very welcome. On the automotive side, this involves a 100% exemption on sales tax for locally assembled cars and 50% exemption of sales tax for CBU cars. We think that CKD cars will see a price reduction of about 6% or so, with the reductions in imported cars about half that. So again, I don't think this is going to make car buyers, or consumers rush out and buy cars necessarily. But I think, I think for those, consumers who are on the verge of, or considering buying a car, this will actually help tip them over the edge. And of course, it will, gradually. And if you look forward to 2021, in conjunction with the gradual improvement in the macro picture, that will, of course, continue to lift sentiment, surrounding these two consumer discretionary sectors.
Yeah, Alex, the other big, obviously, industry contributor is property. Now, of course, lots of goodies, including the home ownership campaign, RPGT exemption for residential homes until year end, and even the removal of the 70% margin of financing for the third home. How do you think listed property developers will stand to benefit?
Well, I think they will benefit, if they are able to clear unsold stock. They will benefit, if there's a revival of buyers' interest in their projects. So I think, it's not a cure-all, but I think because so much of the bad news, from a property stock sector perspective, so much of the bad news is already in the price. The sector has been in the doldrums for years now. And I think this will help to revive investor interest in property stocks.
Yeah, Alex, just as a little aside, of course, the NSD business running with the fact that the T family of the Kajaya Prospect listed counter buying as much as a significant stake into Eastern Oriental E&O Berhad, is that an indicator of fund flows into the sector going forward?
I think generally, I can't speak for them specifically, but I think if you look at the way interest has been rotating through the different sectors, I think clearly there is some element of bottom fishing, and there is some element of looking at stocks and sectors that haven't really done much. If you take a longer term view, clearly they see some longer term benefit to increasing their stake.
Meanwhile, Alex, what sectors are not likely to benefit from the Panjana or even the new phase of the MCO?
Well, I think this is a short-term recovery plan, right? I mean, it's not meant to be a cure-all for the entire economy. I think that will come with later plans. The budget, in the fourth quarter of this year. Top Malaysia plan helping to focusing on infra and so on. So I think this is meant to be an interim band-aid on certain to help certain sectors recover more quickly than they otherwise would have. And I think it's not meant to benefit every single sector out there, but it's meant to alleviate the problems faced by the worst hit sectors.
So markets have already risen 28% from the lows we saw in March, and this is Malaysia, and it's almost in positive territory year on year. Is the market running ahead of itself, especially for the rubber gloves or maybe and even the oil and gas stocks?
Well, clearly there's some concern on that, but this is a liquidity-driven rally. We're seeing unlimited QE from central banks around the world, US in particular. We are seeing a lot of easy money sloshing around right now, expansionary fiscal and monetary policies. And low interest rate environment, which means that some of money from that was previously sitting elsewhere is beginning to find its way into the market. Combined with locally our loan moratoriums and so on. So I think with this liquidity, this state of liquidity, I think there is a chance that markets will overshoot. But clearly, we shouldn't be looking at the level of the market now vis-a-vis. The state of the economy in 2020.
Right.
So the markets are actually trying to price in a post-pandemic scenario 2021.
All right, Alex, very quickly, what are your top picks for the Malaysian market?
Right now, from investors with a short-term perspective, we're looking for them to continue trading. So that will mean focus on the small and mid-cap stocks that continue to offer more attractive valuations. We like stocks like Guangzhong, JHM Consolidation, OCK, Power Root. And for the bigger cap names, we like MISC. Top Glove still, Allianz.
All right, Alex, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research for RHB Investment Bank. And Chuang has opened up Power Root on the Bloomberg there. What is that looking like to you?
Well, $2.50, up 1 cent on reasonably thin volume, but as recently as March, it was at 165, give or take. So both it and Guangzhong, I think, which also is in the small cap sector, they've both done really well in the last few months. So obviously, you're not going to get these guys at basement levels anymore.
And looking a bit at some of the earnings that we've seen for the fourth quarter ended March 2020, SAM Engineering and Equipment, SAM Engineering and Equipment, saw net profit drop 34% to 15 million ringgit despite higher revenue. Its quarterly revenue grew nearly 30% to 254 million ringgit.
Yeah, this was boosted by better business in the equipment segment, which saw an increase in demand from the data storage business as well as semiconductor customers.
Yeah, and its board of directors had declared the first single-tier dividend of 14.76 cents payable on August 26. And the company has attributed the drop in earnings to lower performance on its aerospace segment, unfavorable sales mix, and a higher impairment of receivables and contract assets in accordance with MRFS 9. And right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, it'll be the BBC Business Daily. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.